All right. We just finished the second book of the Growth Journey, Disciple. Abigail just got it translated. She'll get a proof copy this week. She's already into the second chapter of the third book. They started the second or third class in Haiti, Dominican Republic, on that, which is exciting. They got eight people in the next class that Vaughn is doing down there. And it's just going to be exciting to see how that's going. If you need some more information about tonight, I really encourage you to come. I think everybody's probably had opportunities to get that. It's 6 o'clock at Northwest Christian Fellowship. 5 o'clock is intercession. The place holds 275 people packed. It's very tightly chairs in there. They'll probably have 100 to 150 from their church. There's 9 churches. The meeting is going to be good. It's going to be a regular church service, 2 hours. Hour of worship and different things, and then hour of preaching and different things, and we have prophetic teams after it. I'm sure the meeting will be good, but I'm even more excited about what the Lord is doing in the Spirit. In my 22 years, I've never heard of this happening. And it started out of the One Cry movement, which was a Southern Baptist initiative, and it's just so biblical, it's so prophetic. If you are on the intercessors list texting, any of you can join it. If you're not on it, let me know. And I sent out a text of a thing that Rick Joyner did, talking about one of the key aspects of the revival is it's going to hit the Southern Baptists, and they're going to be the lead on this. And so you can see, even though tonight's non-Spirit-filled churches, I've never seen non-Spirit-filled churches come together. You've seen maybe 2, 3, la, 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 and there's a lot of stories there, and I don't want to get into it now, but I'm telling you, God's moving in a miraculous way. I would get there early if you're going to come, because it's probably going to be standing room only, most likely. And so it's just what's happening in the spirit realm. I'm telling you, God's moving all across the city. Just in the last month, I was a part of a Church of God, a prophecy conference up at Northwest Trade Center. Me and some One Cry pastors. We were part of the Hispanic Alliance, which is a subset things. I've met with multiple spirit-filled pastors in this area, a couple hours at a time, each of us prophesying. We've had prophetic words over Southern Baptist pastors. It's just amazing. None of this 7 or 8 months ago, never even saw it. We've had the privilege to speak into leaders in the government, and that's ongoing in the intercession time. I'm telling you, none of this is just this year. God's just bursting open. And it's sort of funny. People go, oh, God's moving so fast and suddenly. Actually, this is a 20-year effort with me, and I know there's people before me. Whenever God moves suddenly, it's because somebody's been back behind in the caves praying. Yeah. It may happen suddenly, and you don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know it's going to be, and you don't know how it's going to happen. But it's because faithfulness on your part, walking it out. That's the marriage of the sovereignty and the free will. You don't quite know how it all comes together. But as you keep doing your thing, like the oil that's going everywhere. I saw that came to the One Cry prayer thing, mixing of streams. Most, at least half or more Southern Baptists came, and they came into the One Cry prayer on Thursday and brought Jerry and Johnny brought the oil, and it's just an amazing meeting. And so streams are but they said, how many of you remember they prayed a year and a half together or years together before that oil started happening? The number escapes me. And I'm telling you, a lot of things are happening in Dalton, Georgia, and in Whitfield County, and in this region. And it's eventually for all 7 regions. And God's moving. So I'm excited, no matter how the meeting goes, and I'm sure it will go well tonight and be good. And I just pray the Holy Spirit comes and whacks us all, as Bill Johnson says. But however it goes, the significance of this, one of the biggest things I saw when I came here 22 years ago when we started this church, was churches did not want to get together because they were afraid that their people might hear you and you're a better preacher or a better musician and they leave and come to your church. And it's just a spirit of insecurity and competition and lack of identity. But the Lord's changed a lot of that, at least in a subset group. And there's about 150 at least churches in this county. There's about 10 or 15 churches in the One Cry movement. So we've got a good tithe. And that's all we need is a tithe. Okay. So let's jump in. We've been talking about the enemies of the soul. Let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just bless you here, Holy Spirit. Nothing's going to happen except me flapping my lips. If Holy Spirit, we need you here in Jesus. And I thank you that you're already here and we just acknowledge your presence. We've been talking about enemies of the soul. Your soul is where your mind, will, emotions, your memories, your future, faith is at. And it needs to be strong. Your body needs to be strong. When you get saved, He redeems, He comes in, fills you up, your spirit. We're made up of three parts, our body, soul, and spirit. But when you came and you get saved, your body, if it was out of shape, is still out of shape. If your body's in shape, it's still in shape. And we've got an obligation to work on it. And it does take work. And we have to work on our souls too. It says in Romans 12:2, renew your mind. That means at one time, before the foundation of the world, it was new. But we come into this world and it gets messed up. Even if you're raised in a great family, it still gets messed up to some degree from the original DNA that God had in the original plan. If you had a terrible family life, it really got messed up. And you have to work through that. But that's fine. The Lord will help to renew our mind and our emotions. It says mind, but it's emotions. I mean, we have to have our emotions healed many times.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And those that never show emotion probably need it more than anybody else because it's blocked.
Yeah.
If you look through the Scripture, especially Psalms, God cried, He was laughed, He was joyful, He was all kinds of things that we often, especially if you're an American Southern male, that we think you shouldn't do. But God is redeeming our soul. And so I started talking about enemies of our soul. And one of them, the first one just that we talked about was rest. It says, be still, still, and know that I am God. It says in 1 Corinthians, work hard to rest. Now, is that an oxymoron or not? That doesn't make any sense. Work hard to rest. What it's talking about is work hard to rest in Him. And not let the tsunami of emotions and the tsunami of your mind and the tsunami of circumstances and the tyranny of the urgent just wear us out. Jesus said He was a man of peace. The Scripture says He was a man of peace. And wherever He went, He brought peace with Him. Well, I tell you what, if you walk around with me, at least 50% of the time, you're going to feel, hopefully you feel the good part, might be being passionate about God, but you're also going to feel, I got to go do this, I got to do that. And I got to hurry up and stop talking to Craig because I feel like I'm impinging on his time. So that's not a man of peace. That's a man being driven by the circumstances. And it's just stuff, you know, I need to work on. But I'm telling you, in the rest is the seed for your answer for the future. We often think the faster we move and the more we do, we're going to get there. It's not in that. Well, what about working hard for God? We work hard for God, but we work hard for God once we've gotten the instructions in rest as to what to do. And we have to break away regularly to make sure we're doing it how He wants to, and then we go work hard.
Amen. Yeah.
But moving in and of itself, we should... Well, a long time ago, the Lord gave me this phrase for me. He said, move with meaning and do with direction. What does Americans do all the time? What's the first thing they do when they say, when we say, how are you doing? 75% of the time, people's going to say this. Oh, it's great, but I'm busy. You know, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I'm not sure that's something Jesus would ever say. Because typically in this context, when we say it, we're overwhelmed. We don't have time to think. We don't have time to reflect. He was obviously busy when you look at the Scriptures. But when you move with meaning and do with direction on what He has placed on your heart, it's fun. It's exciting. Time goes by fast. There may be some warfare. There always is. But it's not a negative, like, feel sorry for me and pray for me because I'm about to die. Just meditate on that. One of the things you have to do is learn to say no. And then secondly, you have to learn to get your value from not what you do, but who you walk with and what you do with Him.
Yes, sir.
You know, in America, I'm never even getting off the review of this first point, am I? That's all right. In America, it's a badge of honor. And I'm telling you, I am a type A, choleric personality, goal-oriented. I'm not happy unless I'm doing a lot of stuff. And that's good. That's how God's made me. But you know, we all have to be balanced. So I'm speaking to myself. In America, it's a badge of honor to be busy, and you're considered lazy if you just say, hey, I just hung out all day and didn't do anything. Is that the truth, or is it just me?
It is truth.
Do you realize that's not a kingdom value?
No.
That's an American value.
Yes, sir.
That is not the way God thinks.
Right. Amen, right.
Sometimes, if you're in this mode, now maybe you're not in this mode. I know there's some people that it's just, this isn't a thing for them. But if you're in this mode on purpose, take some time away or apart to do nothing or something you enjoy, but include Jesus with it.
Yeah, amen.
If you like movies, you want to go to some latest movie, say, Jesus, you want to go to the movie. Talk to him about the movie. Relax with him. Go with him. And somebody says, what you do? I just didn't do much all day today. And if that makes you cringe, do it more. Because we need to, that's renewing the mind. And when you get to the point it doesn't bother you, you've gotten victory over it. Move on. See, or keep doing it. Why, Craig? You know, Jesus didn't save you to be a servant.
Amen. That's right.
I don't know why I'm even doing these notes. Jesus didn't save you to be a servant. He's got servants. They're called angels. And if you come from, as Ron was saying after worship about the condemnation and the lack of trust and the fear, he didn't save you, if you're from that background, to be a slave. He doesn't need you to do anything. I mean, he created all the stars, the heavens, put them in synchronization, made the planet. What does he need us to do anything for? He created you because his base characteristic out of all the attributes of God is love. The Trinity flows together in love. They were created for love. They weren't created to do stuff. They weren't a task force. Although they are a task force, but that's not their primary meaning. He said, you know, we flow together. This is my opinion. I think you can get it through the context of Scripture. We flow together. We love each other. But you know, what is a base characteristic of love that has to happen or love is not satisfied? It has to pour out on other people, on other things. And he said, why don't we create another image, man in our image? That's a three-part being. And we pour out our love on them. And as they learn to experience that love, then let them reproduce like we've reproduced.
Yes.
And teach them how to love. And then see, love keeps going. You know, this is my theory. It doesn't say this in Scripture. But you know, he could have created Adam and Eve separate from the beginning. He did all the other animals, all the sexes were separate. Why didn't he do that with Adam? This is my theory. I'll tell you, it's my theory. It could be totally wrong. We'll find out when he gets there, when we get there. Why did he just create Adam? I think it was a journey for him to start understanding the concept of love and pouring out on someone else. And not till he became alone. He did all this stuff with the animals. Who knows how long he lived before this happened? Could have been a day, could have been 10 years. And he realized, I'm alone. Why did he think he was alone? Because he was created to not be alone. Because he was created in the image of God. Because his characteristic that God wanted him to walk in was love too. Love cannot be poured out on yourself. I mean, you can, but it's ugly, nasty, arrogant, narcissistic, and that's not love. And so I think somewhere on this journey, he started to realize, okay, this is what I was created for. I don't even know if he could have put words to it. And so the animals were created separately. And if you look there real closely, he said male and female, he created him, Adam. So everything, all the characteristics that he wanted in mankind was in him. And so it had to come out of him, which was, I think, the original plan. This was not a second thought. It was his journey to realize living for someone else is what I'm about.
Yes. Yes.
And so she came out of him, out of his rib, out of his side. And see, that's, and then, you know, then he recognized, I'm now complete. He was complete in the sense that all the parts were in him, but he was not able to pour it out on himself. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and start this journey. That was his plan for family. That's cool, isn't it?
It is.
And so relationship, one thing that has hurt, this comes back to the rest, one thing that has hurt Americans, you've seen it, I've talked about it a bunch, if you've been here when I've talked about it, we are the most connected society ever. I mean, I've got 6 messaging apps on my phone, and they're all used. Well, not the one WeChat in China. That one's not used much. So 5. Americans are more connected than anybody, but study after study shows we're more alone than anybody. Why? Because we're so connected, we think that is connection, when all it is hearing the highlights of their day at best. We were not created for those type of connections. I mean, those are good to keep news up. But don't ever think because you have 215 friends, I've met many people who have 215, I'm making that number up. The reason I do that is because I remember that's how many likes are on the RC page. Is 215 friends. I'm telling you, most people do not have any real friends. Where they can call up and talk and share the joys of their life. And so I just challenge you today, cut things out of your life that are not pushing you towards relationship with other people and with God. There's only 2 things that are going to last forever. The Word of God, because that's what the Scripture says. Will this physical book last forever? I don't know. That's not what it's talking about. Probably. But it says, the Word of God shall last forever. I think it includes this. But it's also the words we hear from Him. And He speaks into our lives. I'm telling you, God is moving so fast right now in this county, and it's a bubbling up from years and years of prayer. And years of intercession, and the prophets are coming out of the caves, and things are happening. Now listen to me carefully. We're in this thing together. I love you guys. If we're having every night spending 2 to 3 hours catching up on the next episode, listen to me, and we don't think about them all day, you will miss it. You will miss your part. That doesn't mean you're not saved, but if we never pause to hear, you will not know what's next. Because it's not just going to affect this church, it's going to affect your family. Pause. Whatever that looks like to you. It's worth it to not watch one more episode of Arrow. I love Arrow. I've got the whole next season to watch. I've watched 4 seasons, I got another one to come. I love Arrow. That's why I thought about it. And I'll watch that season, okay? You get my point. You got to have the connection vertically, and you got to have the connection horizontally. Listen to me carefully. I know this is strong. You will not get to where you're going by yourself. God has always done this way, but it's accelerated. It is a prerequisite now for you to get doing the right thing. You have to be. It's not an option anymore. To be in the right place with the right people. The three R's, I call it. You know, reading, writing, arithmetic, right place, right people, right thing. Why? I don't know. That's just what he's doing. I'm just telling you. You can not agree. That's all right. I'm not always right. Most of the time. No, I'm just kidding. That's that choleric type A personality. Right place, right people, right thing. And we need to pause and hear it. And I'm here to tell you, if your life is like mine, you will have to cut something. There's not enough room. This piece of paper has a white margin around it. You know, we call it, you read a book, it's got white margin around it. Most of my life, there is no margin. Y'all get the metaphor I'm speaking there? It's to the end. If you throw one more thing on my plate, I'm going to die. If one more bill comes in, I'm going bankrupt. There's no margin. If I ever take myself too seriously, I'm bringing you along, man. You keep me in balance. But it's exciting. Clear the, make margins. Now, if you're like me, I'm a scared of margins because I like to be busy all the time because I don't want to be alone with my faults. Regrets come in. We talked about that last week. I was going to review it this morning. I don't think we're going to make it. That's okay. God's good. It's what we needed. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Yes,
don't look at me like this never happens to you. You wake up at 5 o'clock and you're scared and you want to hurry up and go back to bed because these thoughts start coming in. Regrets. What about this? What about the future? What happened
here?
Am I the only one?
No, sir. No.
You know, for many years I thought those thoughts would go away. I realize they don't.
No.
And it's just it's half of it's demonic.
Yes,
half
sir.
Of it's our unrenewed mind to keep us from moving forward. Fear of the future or ashamed of the past. Let me tell you, create margin and face those things head on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, my marriage is not like it was. Maybe if I ignore it, it'll get better. It never gets better. It festers. It's like you get a cut on your arm, it starts getting infected. Let me just ignore it. It gets worse.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, this is the time for deliverance and inner peace and freedom so that our circumstances around us do not overcome us. That we always say, how's it going? Well, it's going pretty good under the circumstances. And if you've been there, and all of us have, you know what it's like to be under the circumstances. It's crushing sometimes. And the Lord, the reason we pause, the reason we go into rest, is because He's wanting, when we do that, and you stand along beside Him, where is He seated? And we know He's omniscient and can go all around, but where does it say in Ephesians He's seated? With us, at the right hand. And so what we've got to do when you pause and say, I'm going to deal with this, is it's a process. You go, Father, I'm not going to ignore this anymore. I want margin and I want time to eat. Maybe you've dealt with these thoughts, but you just need time that's unscheduled. If this is a real big deal, unschedule 30 minutes a day where you don't do anything. Put it on your schedule to do nothing. Believe me, I've done that a bunch. That's where you work hard. To do nothing.
Yes, sir. I hear you.
Why? Because He is above the circumstances.
Yes, 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 yes.
And when you start resting in Him, in your spirit, which is how we're supposed to be led, you get and realize the position He has, which is over the circumstances.
Yes.
And then the
yes, yes.
fear of the future and the shame or the hate or heaviness of the past, of regret, is you see it from a totally different perspective of over and under, and you knew, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm walking with Him, and He's not under it, and we're going to make it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And then peace comes in, even if your circumstances haven't changed. So if you find yourself under the circumstances, which I do all the time, don't think I've got this thing all together, but you find yourself under the circumstances, realize I've got to spend more time over the circumstances with somebody that's over. And when you find yourself slipping below, going under, that's a sign emotionally, this is more than I can handle at the level that I am walking with God. And so I am going to spend more time with God.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yeah.
Because it's not about teaching. Teaching is a start. You can read verses all day long and never get over the circumstances. Those verses are important, but they're to lead you to a person. And when you walk with the person, it gives you a whole other perspective.
Yes, sir.
That's the value of rest. That's why we need to create margin. So if you're busy like crazy, you need to do two things. Because I want every one of you, including myself, you pray for me as I pray for you, to do the three R's. Right thing, in the right place, and the right people.
Yes, sir.
It's a big deal.
It is. Very big.
People take jobs now as a general rule. Not saying any of you here. They take a job what? This one's got a much bigger salary and it's in a cooler city. Bam, they go. You realize that is not biblical. I, for 20 years, have taken jobs paying much less than I could have on the open market. I'm talking $50,000 a year less. We're not talking five. Why? Because this is my place. And whenever job offers came up to say move to here or there, I immediately put them down because this is the right place for me. And whatever jobs God has brought along for me, I knew was what He wanted to supply for me, because value is not in a big salary. My success is hearing God's voice, and when I get to heaven, He's not going to look at my W-2 or 1099. He's going to say, did you do what I told you to do?
Amen, brother. That's right.
Because we're bond servants. We do what He says and how to say it. And when to say it. That's cool, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
But I'm telling you, whatever, you know, I love sports cars. I don't even have sports cars anymore for various reasons. You know, I'd love to be making $50,000 more and driving some sports car, but you know, I am happy on the inside. That's a temporal happiness. The big thing is really not a big deal. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But when you're in the right place with the right people doing the right thing, it's just right. So, I'm in the spirit and in the natural, things are speeding up. We're going to get busier as a church. But we want to move with meaning and do with direction. And I think strategically, all about the church. There's not very many programs here. Small groups and Sunday mornings, basically it. Well, we got growth, journey, and intercession. So four things. Why? I only want to be doing things now that will help when revival comes.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to just move just because everybody thinks you need all these things. Because you'd have to cut them then. Let's cut them now. And focus on relationships horizontally, vertically, and inside, like with the growth journey. So, what do you got to do? Be brutal in your own life. If you need it. You might have already done this. If you're an average American, you need to do it. Learn to say no. Cut things, create margins, don't be scared of the margins, deal with your inner attitudes before the Lord, because think of all the bondage and weight that's in your brain and your emotions, and that you subconsciously just keep pushing off. If we deal with that stuff, think how light you're going to be, and you'll be freer to do the things of the Lord with more power.
Yes.
You're getting free of physical stuff and spiritual stuff, not just to sit around forever. It's for the next assignment. Let me close with this story. Rick Joyner, who Morningstar Ministries, who I'm under and ordained under. How many of you have heard Bob Jones, who was a prophet that went several years ago? This is a big thing in the whole Morningstar thing, and it was written in 1987 in the book The Harvest by Rick Joyner. So, what was that, 30 years ago? And this is where I'm wanting us and our church, which is just us and me and you as individuals, to get ready for. They have prophesied, I believe, nobody knows when. I hope to see it in my lifetime, but I'm acting like it's tomorrow. that there's a billion soul harvest coming. You might have heard that. A billion souls, or seven. Let me take that back. A second billion soul harvest. These were prophesied 30 years ago. None of them happened. The first billion soul has already happened. And it happened outside the West. South America, Africa, Asia is just blown up. You know, nobody can count these things, but maybe a billion souls have come to know Jesus Christ in the last 20 years. It's unbelievable. Most Americans don't even know what's going on. We're oblivious as we slide into decadence and hedonism and care nothing about except getting more followers on our Facebook. I'm picking on Facebook a lot. Facebook is okay. Bless Facebook. Lord's going to use it for the revival.
Yeah, amen.
Second and the last harvest, at least according to their predictions, is another billion souls. And it's going to be primarily come out of the West, around the world. Rick Joyner says this, that the Lord's favor is going to be on small churches and large churches. Especially small churches. He said there's going to be a time where 1,000 people are added to these small churches. 1,000. We run 50 here. How would we disciple 950 people? And they're going to come in, you know, obviously they're not going to meet in this building unless we have 10 services. Well, we can actually get 300 chairs in here. That'd be cool. So we can have three services. We'd definitely have to pay our musicians full time because they'd be wore out. We'd all be wore out. But you get the point. You can come here and attend, but that's not discipleship. That's an introduction to the life. That's one of the major reasons we moved away from classrooms to individuals. So that instead of just one-on-one, like with Tiffany to Caitlin, she could do three, one-on-three, and at their schedule, and at their time, and at their pace. You see that? We're at the fourth generation of this now. Caitlin's a fourth generation. We've had multiple fourth generations. Patty was third generation. She's going through the growth journey now with somebody else. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even do anything more. There's no more work to me, except I just bless them and pray for them and pray for them when they graduate. That's the way it should be. It's multiplying. It's not dependent on one person. But 950 people? We can't do 950 people now. I think about this all the time. What are we going to do with 950 people?
Make room.
Hey, 3,000 got saved the day of Pentecost. Pack them in.
We do the growth journey with 100 people at a time. Now, that wasn't all the prophecy. See, this is what God's trying to get you ready for. All of you that's been through the growth journey, that's never taken somebody else through for opportunity or business, if this happens, I'm going to be coming to you and say, it's time. There's four people over here. Well, I can't do that. Did you go through it? Yeah, just do what happened when you went through it. Well, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. God will show you.
Yeah.
You'll learn more than those people going through it.
Yeah.
That's cool, isn't it? And so we gather here for three or four services or whatever happens, or maybe the Lord gives us a bigger building. That's up to Him. And then there's dozens of meetings, other places, and where you're pouring into people, mentoring people. Now, that's not all the prophecy, though. You know what He really said? He said that the Lord is, there's going to come at a time, and this is prophecy. You have to judge it and you have to weigh it out. But that's what Bob Jones says. He said there will be a time where 1,000 people come in. A week. I can't even fathom that. Oh, there's 950 new people here next week. There's 1,000 new people here. It's what she said. It's going to be God. He'll have to put it together. No man's organization. But we do want to dedicate our lives and prepare our lives so that we're stripped down to be bondservants to move.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Yes, it is. That's powerful.
Did y'all hear the good news about Faith Head over here? Mm-mm. Why don't you real quick tell about the ranking and whatever else is out. I can't even keep up with it. You know, we're not going to be able to do testimonies on Sunday mornings anymore. when it goes to this. Because we would be here for 4 days. We'd be here till the next time. Now, maybe we do that. We totally restructure our meetings, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. So many testimonies. That's why we got all these groups and mentorships and growth journeys. We just call each other up. And Facebook will be great. We can put our 4,000 testimonies on Facebook that week. Yeah. Here's my. I can't even remember it all.
Okay. Well, we got notification the other day. We didn't even know this radio station was playing us, but the name of the station is Righteous Rock Radio. And we made it, our song Freak Show made it to number 7 on their charts of top Christian artists. And so it was.
That's a big deal. Number 7.
It was
out
a
of
big deal.
Groups.
So it was. Yeah, it was awesome. And we're being played. We found out yesterday. Found out yesterday evening at Desiree's play that they're playing Going to the Mountain in Italy right now. So
awesome! I love that mountain.
How many countries?
Now it's 40.
And so let's use this as a lesson, because I'm telling you, this same model is being used for everything. Years ago, I don't even remember how many years ago. Do you remember how many years ago there was just a simple prophecy I gave you that your songs are going to go to the nations? Of course, I think he's going to become like the next Hillsong or Bethel and write this type of stuff. But that was an assumption. We can't assume. And then the next thing we know, I'd forgotten about the word. He goes off with a bunch of guys and forms a Christian metal band. That's how it's going to the nations. And when we see it, we go, okay, that's cool. That's God. That fulfills the word. Do you know, we've had many musicians come through here, and a lot of them are still here, have tried like crazy, spent thousands of dollars to try to get their songs promoted. When you walk with God and do what He says, and you don't care about the results, maybe it stays here, maybe it doesn't, that's what they did. They just started writing songs. You weren't trying to go to the nations. You weren't trying to drum things up. You weren't trying to ring it out. The next thing he knows, all this has happened. This is what happens in the season and the time as you walk with God. We've got to get rid of the notoriety. We've got to get rid of the selfish ambition. We have ambition, but it's for Him. When you get in the place of the Lord and rest in the Lord, then you get rid of, you just don't really care what happens to you anymore. You just want Him.
Yeah.
And you just enjoy walking with Him.
Right.
If you get promoted, you get promoted. If you don't get promoted, you don't get promoted. But you don't care.
You don't care.
Because you're just walking with Him. He is valuable. He is worthy. Yeah. He is worth just sitting at the table with.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's stand. I've gone a few minutes or over. I tell you what, the Lord's good. He's getting us ready.
Yes, He is.
Move with meaning this week. Do with direction. I like what do they call those alliterations where you get the same letters on the front of the words? That's how God always speaks to me. You do it in your own language. Move with meaning. I mean, John 5, Jesus said, I never said anything. I didn't first hear the Father say, how far off? I'm so far away from that. I should say, every once in a while, I may say something that He has told me to say. You know, really, the more quieter I get, going, He's getting more spiritual over there. He's not talking near as much as He used to. And then He says in John 15, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. My gosh, at this point, I'd be staying at home all the time. You see the principle there. But when I finally did something, it'd probably have a lot more effect.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank You for every person here. I thank You that every person here, You're getting in the 3 R's. And You're doing it today. And Father, I rebuke the enemy coming in with any regret or any fear of the future that causes us to stall. We want to rest, but we do it with meaning and under Your direction. Father, I just pray deliverance over every person here. And they work through thoughts and places that keep them from moving and hold them back in fear and regret. And we just bind that up. And I just speak a funness over every person, even in the midst of war. I speak a ability to create margins in their life and rest in a right way. That even if you're busy, it's restful. Father, help us to get this concept down inside of us, because I've preached on it 3 times now. And so, meant just do it once, so there's just something here that you still want us to grow in. And Father, I just thank you that you're teaching us how to be, to see our circumstances from above instead of being under. Amen.